Hello friends, during our last meeting, we understood that the fifth trumpet describes a demonic attack. We raised the possibility of being confronted to dead people reappearing after their death, or more precisely, pretending to reappear while they are spirits of demons. We are being told of a story in the Word of God, that of King Saul at the end of his life. I would like to point out how relevant this story is, perfectly illustrating what we saw last time. The story begins thus. Saul was at war against the Philistines, but this time he had no idea how to fight against them. He wished he could ask for God's help. But God didn't answer him through Urim and Thummim. These consisted of two stones found on the breastplate of the high priest, one black and the other white. These stones would lie to give a yes or no answer. Nor did he get help from the prophets, nor through any other means. So, getting no answer to his requests, and in great distress, what will Saul's final attempt be? Let's read the story at the end of the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 28, verse 3. Now, Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Getting rid of the mediums was a wise decision. But it also shows us that, when there is no leadership, the natural tendency of the people is to turn to those who foretell the future. Even nowadays, fortune tellers have exceptional revenues, and we know that they have the tendency of calling up the dead. This has been practiced for millennia. Coming back to Saul, he at first cut them off, or at least he prohibited to conjure them. You must be aware that even if these things are prohibited, even if nobody talks openly about them, yet they do exist everywhere. So, receiving no answer from God, Saul called on the very means he had abolished. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 4 to 7. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." Officially, Saul had eliminated all these intermediaries, all these mediums of all kinds. But you see, even if things are not openly said, one just have to ask and immediately the information is transmitted. Allow me to repeat, if you are looking for such people, you will immediately find a multitude of them around, right here in your neighborhood or in our so-called civilized society. Actually, a woman who escaped from Saul's prohibition is immediately found. 1 Samuel 28:8. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Please, conduct a séance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name you." It is interesting to note that Saul was accompanied by two men at this woman's place. He asked her to bring up a dead person, which means that he knew quite well that the dead are asleep, resting according to the teaching of the word, but despite that fact, he determined to disturb a dead from his rest, his sleep. Moreover, the one who answered his question introduced himself as such. But let's see what happened. 1 Samuel 28, verses 9 and 10. Then the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Strange behavior as that of Saul, who promised to the woman in the name of the Lord that no harm will be done to her. In the name of the Lord, he cut off from the country those who predicted the future and those who call on the dead. And in the name of the Lord, he pretended to tell this woman that she risked nothing. What inconsistency, what disturbance, what mind confusion. But you know, in distress, in anguish, the mind is indeed disturbed. And I know that persons subjected to anxiety are disturbed, and those are the ones who deserve to be helped. However, it is in times of trouble and disturbance that people go deep down to the bottom and have recourse to things rejected before. The woman knew she could lose her life and expressed her fears, but Saul reassured her, or tried to reassure her. 1 Samuel 28, verses 11-12. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." As soon as the woman got into contact with the spirit, she as well as Saul thought that it was the spirit of Samuel. But we know, because the Bible tells us so, that this could not be Samuel's spirit. Thus, she understood that Saul has lied to her, and she exclaimed, "But you are Saul." She thought it was a tricky situation to trap her, even Saul himself being in great distress, not knowing where to turn to, resorted to such a desperate measure. Something quite strange happened, because if the woman saw Samuel, Saul did not. Let's read the story. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and she spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" She said to Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." Well, now we are beginning to see the pernicious teaching, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." This woman is trying to assimilate Samuel to a god. I saw gods ascending out of the earth. This is an old, old story. Already in Eden, that serpent of old had told Eve, "You shall be as gods." And even today, in all kinds of theories, in all kinds of approaches, such as the New Age type, man himself is compared to God. The message is pernicious, but it is tempting. Poor soul was trembling like a leaf. Has it been a god, would he be trembling like that? Let's see what will be the message of the so-called Samuel. 1 Samuel 28:14. So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Here we realize that the woman saw something, but Samuel did not. He asked the woman to describe what the figure looked like, and she answered, "Well, he's covered with a mantle." As he asked for Samuel, and knowing that Samuel, like the prophets in general, wore a mantle, he perceived, says the text, that it was Samuel, even though he could not see him. However, he fell to the ground. He should have bowed down only to God. See to what failure his mistake led him to. She saw someone like a god coming up, and he bowed down to him as if he was God. Saul questioned him as if his oracle was infallible. But how could he think that God, who hadn't answered him until then, would answer him through this forbidden way? Let's listen to the dialogue. 1 Samuel 28:15. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistine make war against me, and God has departed from me, and does not answer me anymore, neither by the prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." It was Saul's desire to know the future. But obviously, he wanted to know what to do. He was in a critical situation. He knew that the Philistines were powerful. He knew that he did not have much latitude. He did not know how to handle the situation. What to do? Should he withdraw? Should he engage battle? Should he tackle the problem in a different way? Should he negotiate? He was quite at a loss. Saul hoped that Samuel would give him more answers. He also recognized that God has not answered him. Who could believe that God would answer him through Samuel? Do you see the inconsistency here? Let's continue. 1 Samuel 28:16 to 18. Then Samuel said, "So, why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself what he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day." When we know that Samuel is not the one speaking, but a demon, this is an extremely perverse and pernicious situation. Instead of understanding that God is not the one answering him, Saul falls into the trap. You know, when we are anxious, cornered, not knowing what to do next, We are indeed fragile when facing this kind of temptation. The supposed to be Samuel would give a number of elements recalling prophecies that had been fulfilled. He added, because you were not violent enough, because you did not kill enough, because you didn't execute God's fierce wrath upon Amalek. That is why you are facing the situation you are in today. There was not the smallest encouragement Saul could get from this experience. He came to find some comfort, but received none. There was nothing in the words of the so-called Samuel to enlighten his mind. However, he would declare a number of things that was going to happen. When I say Samuel, I mean the demon who speaks through Samuel's mouth announced some events that would be fulfilled. But truly speaking, this was not very difficult, because he knew in what condition Saul was. Let's read more. 1 Samuel 28:19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. This prophecy comes like a bombshell. You will die, your son will die, you will be with me in Sheol. See, there is no idea of paradise or hell. Everyone goes to Sheol. You will be with me, he said. And Israel will be delivered into the hands of the Philistines. Yes, that is what will happen, but in a curious way. Let's keep on reading. 1 Samuel 28:20-23. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground. He was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul, and seeing that he was severely troubled, said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands, and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please, heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you, and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not. So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Saul fell full length on the ground. He collapsed, yet he was told something that approached the truth, but in fact, this did not benefit nor encourage him. His trip to this soothsayer, calling on the dead, was of no help to him. Yet this woman still showed a certain kindness. She realized that he was weak, that he had not eaten. Presumably, he was fasting because he knew he was going through a difficult situation. Had he kept on fasting, imploring God, he could have broken the deadlock. But he was weak, and he surrendered. He surrendered at the instance of this woman and those who accompanied him. Although he had decided to fast, yet he was finally persuaded to eat, not just the piece of bread the woman gave him, but she even went on to prepare a fatted calf, though this would take time. Saul would have better stayed with his people, encouraging them. His absence far from his people has been a long one. But here he is without any strength, no energy at all to face life's reality. So, what is going to happen? What will be the outcome? Something extremely curious. Back to the camp, he faced the situation. Actually, the Philistines did win the battle. His sons were killed. He himself was not killed, but he was so desperate that he asked his arm bearer to kill him. The latter refused to lay hands on the anointed of the Lord, because Saul was anointed by God as king of Israel. So, what did Saul do? He threw himself on his own sword. The ultimate result for Saul in getting in contact with a person calling on the dead ended in his committing suicide. Do you remember what was said in our text of Revelation 9? They shall seek death and will not find it. In Saul's case, he found it. But he sought it through the intermediary of his servant, asking him to kill him. Even though his servant refused, he did not find death until he committed suicide. I cannot help myself while reading this text share with you another text that is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24. This is what Jesus says. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. If you look at the seduction side of Saul's experience, finally, the Spirit which spoke to him predicted things that happened to come true. But this was of no help. Let us look at what is said in the verse just before. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "there," do not believe. If one day someone tells you, "Come, let us call on the dead, let us seek advice from someone who foretells the future," if someone tries you that way, calls you and makes you foresee a possibility to solve a problem, be sure this kind of call will never solve your problem, and may instead throw you both into a state of dependence and despair that would lead you to worse. God has warned us. He forbids this practice. He says, "Do not believe in this. Know that the dead are sleeping, they are resting." So honestly, isn't it the best thing to follow God's advice in what He has provided? This way, Christ calls us to walk in a healthy way, the way the text of Revelation invites us to.